Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, Wonder Socks. We've got a very nice episode on your horizon any second now with lovely man and lovely comedian Don Biswas. He's on the edge of taking, I think, his debut hour to the Edinburgh Fringe called The Revolution Will Be Disorganised. And frankly, so is this podcast. But producer Laura has worked her magic and I think you're going to really enjoy it. We get into everything from eating with dyspraxia, ADHD and autism to the horrible moral quandary posed by whether or whether not to Weatherspoon. First, though, thanks for being my listener. Thanks if you tell other people about this podcast. And huge, huge thanks if you're my patron. The reason this podcast exists at all is thanks to those of you able to throw a few quid a month in the direction of Patreon in exchange for various cool, bespoke things. Without Patreon, Hoovering is done for financially, and its future depends on Patreon continuing to grow, so I do need more of you to sign up. So I make sure that the perks are pretty huge for my patrons. For example, there are advanced secret heads up about huge future guests. I have recently announced publicly that National Treasure level superstar Joe Lycett is joining me for the Roundhouse Comedy Festival live show in Camden on the 10th of August. And my patrons have known about that for weeks. Thank you very much. And not only that, they have been offered discount tickets to that live show. Some of them have been given free tickets to that live show. That's the sort of stuff you can look forward to, that and exclusive content and loads of extra regular bits and bobs. If you're interested and you've got even a few quid a month going spare, please go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and join that lovely gang. Can a gang be lovely? Yes, note to self, start referring to it as a club. But gangs are cooler than clubs, so it's confusing, isn't it? I'm riffing here. A glub. Come and join that glub. If you haven't heard my radio comedy series Sturdy Girls Club on BBC Sounds, please do. I worked my dangly little tits off making that series and I would love you to hear it. The whole series combined is less than an hour, so you have got time. It's on BBC Sounds right now. It's free. It's 4 15-minute episodes of comedy about sturdy girls. Oh, if you're at Latitude on the 21st of July, that's next weekend, we are hoovering live on the Friday evening at 7:40 at the Listening Post with none other than comedian, ex-model, star, writer, performer, actor and owner and creator of a whole forthcoming BBC sitcom series. It's the awesome Michelle Desfort. I alluded to it earlier, but I would really love to see you all in real life on the 10th of August at the Camden Roundhouse Comedy Festival at 7 p.m. I am hoovering live with the exquisite king of all mummies, Joe fucking Lycett. Tickets for those things and for my stand-up work in progress shows going on over the summer are, as always, on my website, jessicafostercue.com. A miniature warning that calorie counting is mentioned fleetingly in this episode, but unless you're on a complete ban, it is dealt with and over in a flash. Right, let's introduce you to Don. Him and I met when I was a brand new comedian, like 15 years ago. He had already been on the circuit a little while. He is the most kind, fun, excellent fellow you will ever hear. He came round to mine for a sunshine-soaked lunch of fancy salads that I had made. You join us in my garden.
Well, thanks for coming all the way to my house. And it's such a nice day and we're sat in the garden and I've been cooking. And I don't know if it's going to be nice, but if it isn't
nice, it looks lovely.
Thanks for saying that, you lovely gentleman. If it isn't nice, we can blame Nigel Slater because it's all his recipes. Well, in a weird way, we can blame Nigel Slater and also Aldi because I panic bought some pre-made bits from Aldi. That's just like a feta parcel and a chilli and sweet corn fritter. And then the bits I've made were, it's like a fried potato salad with dill and cucumber, but I've made homemade mayonnaise with rocket that you're meant to splat all over that. And then that's a salad with pecorino cheese, radishes and broad beans. Shut up, we're going to live forever.
I'm sure it's going to be absolutely lovely, but if it isn't, I'll go to Lewis and Wetherspoons afterwards. So.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that is on your way home. I wouldn't be rooted. Although, have you ever been in Lewis and Wetherspoons?
Just to use the toilet. So. Okay. It is terrible. So.
It's really sad in there. Shall I dish you some?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. This looks delicious.
Pleasure.
You're talking to a guy who eats microwave meals. So.
I like it. But did test that you liked the contents of these recipes and sent you them and you went, oh, normally you'd have a meal deal, so this sounds great.
the meal deal is elite, but I'm surprised other countries don't do them.
Let's get into meal deals as a thing. What are we talking though? Sainsbury's Boots?
Sainsbury's is the...
It's the mecca.
Well, Tesco's is quite good as well, but you need to get a club card to get a reduction in those meal deals.
So. Oh.
But they're all good. Yeah, the main one for me is Tesco's or Sainsbury's.
Yeah, love it. Right, have you ever had homemade mayonnaise?
I think it's not in a long time, so.
I think it's an acquired taste. It's quite like olive oily. Do you like olive oil?
That's perfect.
It's got rocket in it. I'm just going to put a dollop there. This is like use it like a dip.
Sort of like the Mediterranean diet, which is quite healthy. So.
Yeah, it's full of oils. We're getting like a lot of varieties of plants. That's got to be good. And then you can help yourself to that business over there.
Perfect, thank you. Can't every podcast be eating food?
I know. I think it does level it up that we get to actually have some lunch while we're doing it and not just talk about lunch.
This is lovely.
Good. Yeah, lovely. Ooh, right, okay. I don't know. I'm going to try the broad bean salad first because. Okay, so I made it with mint from the garden. Should thank my missus for that.
Can she cook?
Yeah, she can. Oh my, that is nice. It's all soaked in. It's so clever, Nigel. You're so clever. With that, like, you basically made it ages ago so that the broad beans soak up all the vinaigrette and it has, and it's nice. She can cook, but we're quite different. I love following recipes and I like using stuff up. She likes winging it and buying 1,000 new tiny things and using just a pinch of each.
I'm like her, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm quite disorganised, yeah.
Right, fair enough.
I bought the whole Gordon Ramsay cookbook, used it once, and then... I think my dad was absolutely livid to spend that much money, so...
Do you live with your dad?
No longer now. Unfortunately, he's no longer here, but...
Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
But well, I live with my mum at a good age, but my dad can cook, and neither can I, so...
Yeah.
So... I take one thing. My mum can cook really well, but
can
I don't.
She?
But here's the weird thing: everyone loves her food except for one person, and that's me.
Oh no!
So,
she gutted, or does she not care?
She doesn't really care, man. We're very unhealthy, so.
Are you?
I've been living off Taco Bells for the last few Fridays, so just whatever's cheap, we go there, eat it. A lot of sushi as well, so
that's healthy.
Sushi is healthy, but not supermarket, I don't think. But
fair enough.
I think I'm coming to the stage now, I'm 40 now, that I might be pretty diabetic. Asian people are so unhealthy, so this podcast might save my life. So.
You just said about 9 things in a row and I don't know where to start.
Yeah, then. I know.
this is going to be... I've got a vibe of what this podcast is going to be like. Right, I don't think we can just say Asian people are so unhealthy.
No.
Even as an Asian person. I don't think I can leave that unchallenged. No.
This Asian person is unhealthy.
Okay, yeah, cool. We walk that back, and now it's something we can run with. I fucking love Taco Bell. Mm. Nothing wrong with that.
It's very cheap, it's great, yeah.
So. I think it's cheap, but don't you also think it's cheap because each item is surprisingly tiny?
Very, very small, yeah.
Yeah, so. You've basically got to make yourself some kind of Mexican tapas.
Yeah,
to get a decent dinner out of that. Really. Got by 2 meals, yeah, you got by 2 meals. Yummy. Fair enough. We can assume you're not into cooking. You don't have like a signature dish.
My signature dish is pasta with pesto. Brilliant, yeah. I saw my sister do it. And that's what I make if I kind of be asked to make it. So.
Yeah, I love it. Is your sister older or younger than you?
She's older than me.
Yeah.
She lives in Switzerland, and their diet there is a lot more healthy. So
yeah, Switzerland.
It's a bit like this food here. It's just,
is it? Oh, nice. Why does she live in Switzerland? Just for a laugh.
Tax avoidance.
That'd be so funny if that was true. You're such a raging lefty.
Yeah, yeah.
You're such a vocal lefty. It's like, turns out your sister's actually Elon Musk.
Yeah, she calls me a champagne socialist, actually, because I am a massive hypocrite. So.
Well, aren't we all?
But moved there. She found a Swiss bloke.
Ah, uh-huh, fair enough.
And it's got a really happy ending now, so they're divorced.
Oh!
So she found someone else, so yeah.
Okay, another Swiss bloke or...
French bloke.
So. French bloke, stayed in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, she's happy in Switzerland. The diet there is a lot healthier.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No Taco Bells there, so...
Aren't there? Well, that's their loss. Yeah, that's the first... I think that's why I love Taco Bells, because... When I was 9, I went to visit an uncle that lived in America. I'd never had Mexican food. And I thought I was having, like, Michelin-starred Mexican food when I tried a Taco Bell. And it blew my mouth. I loved it. It was so delicious. I just never tried those flavours before, and it's really nice flavours.
I think America's the best for food. I love their diner-style food.
Mm.
New York is one of my favourite places.
And have you been?
Yeah. I love that. I need to go to Cat's Diner now. Whether I had Harry Met Sally, but I've been to similar ones, and the bagels are lovely. The portion sizes are brilliant. I know they're too much, but I love the burgers. Everything about New York, the cheesecake is probably my favourite food ever.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So there was a comic on the circuit whose name was Chester Constable, and I was thinking about this, and he ate a whole cheesecake to himself, and I felt like at the gig, I was just standing up and just applauding him.
Yeah.
Because he's my hero. I could eat cheesecake for the rest of my life if that was one meal.
So. It's a beautiful point, well made, actually. And there are lots of hypocrisies in terms of things that are socially acceptable to have all of. Celia Abbey's got a brilliant joke about why are you allowed a whole pizza but not a whole quiche?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the whole quiche would be like the middle class version, wouldn't it? So. Mm.
Yeah, especially now the king's got his own one.
But the king's got his own quiche?
He brought out his own quiche for his coronation, I think. It's got walnuts in it, so... I think that says everything we need to know.
He brought it to the street party, didn't he?
Yeah, just the one.
At the street party, yeah, we just wanted to get pissed, though.
Yeah, lovely.
Contributed to it. I didn't cook anything, obviously, but just bought some.
Did you bring a microwave meal and a Taco Bell?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Street party.
A microwave meal, a Taco Bell, yeah, and I left a receipt there just so if anyone wanted to contribute. No, I actually bought... What's it called again? Not Dunkin' Donuts. I forgot the other name.
Krispy Kremes.
Yeah, Krispy Kremes.
Oh, I love it that I could guess that one in a second.
Yeah. It's expensive, though. It's nearly £20.
But worth it.
It's worth it, yeah, but it all went. But they all went, so I couldn't get one for myself. Right. But that was nice. So I spend most of my life, because I've got ADD, HD, is just spending money on food.
Yeah.
So when I used to work, I gave up my job last year. I used to work
for comedy.
For comedy. For Ernest & Young Accountants, I used to work.
Did you?
It was about 5 minutes from the station.
Yeah.
And during that 5 minutes, I stop at 4 places just to get something to eat.
Amazing.
So I'd go to Pret just to get a chocolate bar. Then I'd get a coffee at the next place. I just didn't think because I was just so hungry. So
yeah. Oh, right. Because you're so hungry, you needed to get one thing from each place. I thought you were putting together the perfect walk of snacks.
I thought
you were basically doing like... The Pret version of a pub crawl.
Yeah, that's basically it, basically. But I wasted so much money, and that's... Yeah. So I'm worried, because I'm going to Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's not the PR, it's not the venue, it's my food. Like, it's going to go down the... It's going to increase loads, because I don't cook, I'm just... I won't even treat myself to a meal, though. I'll probably just go to Waitrose or somewhere and just...
Waitrose is swanky.
Yeah.
Okay, right. You've mentioned Edinburgh. You're gearing up to do an hour at the Edinburgh Fringe, second hour.
Yes, certainly. If anyone is Edinburgh-based or going to Edinburgh, I'm at the Patter House, 9:40, in a small snug room every day in Edinburgh.
From yay!
The 2nd to the 27th, except 14th.
And what's the show called again?
The Revolution Will Be Disorganised.
The Revolution Will Be Disorganised. That's such a lovely title. Thank
and
you.
And free cheesecake for all audiences.
That bit's, I think that bit's a lie, by the way. I love it. I'm assuming you're feeling nervous and excited. And if so, is that would that ever affect how you eat?
The thing I'm worried about the most, because I eat a lot of sweets, I snack a lot, so I'm not worried about my performance. I'm just worried I don't get diabetes in Edinburgh or a heart attack. So just or poor bowel movements and stuff like that. I think I might get IBS. So when I started this Edinburgh journey, I was hoping my venue would be a toilet.
Do you find that feeling, do nerves or have nerves ever made you feel less hungry? Like, have you ever been someone who couldn't eat on their way, like just before a gig? So many people say that. I've not really had it.
One of the reasons why I couldn't eat before a gig is because I was broke. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
And even drinking it is so expensive in this side. But nerves never affected my the way I eat. It's just
That's good.
So I always used to get nervous and just tank at a gig, but the food wasn't involved. In fact, anything, if the gig went badly afterwards, I just used to eat more.
Yeah.
So, like, comfort eating. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know that feeling when you're like, something, I need to get rid of these emotions.
Ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason I ask that is because Edinburgh's make me nervous, but not in a, like, the same way as, like, you know, in the few hours before a gig, you're like, I don't know, like, sweaty palms and yawning and, like, all the really big signs of being really nervous. But I think in the months, right, even in the sort of, I'd say, year running up to an Edinburgh Fringe, I'm, like, a bit more full of adrenaline, and it does make me less peckish in a way that I just find interesting rather than, like, good or bad or anything. I've just really noticed it. Like, but then I think lots of people eat differently at different times of year anyway, and it is the run-up to the summer. Do you think you eat differently according to what season it is?
In the summer, I just eat a lot more ice cream, if I'm to be honest.
Fair enough.
I can have two or three ice creams a day, man. So.
Get in. Have you got? I had my first Twister of the year recently and thought, fuck, that's been too long.
I recommend
a sort of nightcap just before bed.
Oh, really, that's nice. That is lovely.
Yeah, so. When you're hot and just like it's a bit like having a, you know, if you ever have a cold shower just before you go to bed when it's really hot, it's mouth equivalent of that.
That is brilliant. The one thing I tried for the first time was a Ferrero Rocher ice cream.
I've had one of these. Oh, no, I had a Toblerone one, and I was disappointed. Tell me about the Ferrero Rocher one.
It was lovely.
Good.
I'm obsessed about calories, so it was under 200 calories, but then I had another one. So, I wasn't full up, so yeah. Well, it all goes out the window, so.
Yeah. Almost worth not worrying about them too. Oh, yeah. I remembered a joke you used to have. Maybe you still would have it. I loved it. But you do one-liners, or you certainly did one-liners back in the day. We started at a similar time doing comedy. And you had one that said, I'm a Hindu, so I don't have beef with no one.
Yeah.
I love that joke.
That joke actually got slated by a reviewer.
What?
It's just a very cheesy joke, so.
What? Well, what is there to slate about that beautiful joke? They need to swivel. They're dead inside.
Exactly.
They don't know it. That's news to you, Mr. Reviewer, and it will have been a man. You have already died.
But the thing is, this is a food podcast. I am a Hindu and I actually love beef. So.
Do you? Yeah. That's going to be my next question, was are you a Hindu and do you eat beef?
Yeah, I do eat beef, so yeah. I love it. So.
Excuse my ignorance. Is there, like, a logic behind... Is it in scripture somewhere or something?
I think cows are sacred in India, but
it's a sacred thing as opposed to being like, I think some other religions don't eat like pork, for example, because it's meant to be like unclean or whatever. But it's different to like not eating it because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So beef, I think it's sacred. I don't know how. Yeah. I'm not that religious, but that's why I know. I'm only religious for comedy because I've got about 10 reincarnation jokes in my set. So at least if I do every Edinburgh show, I'll have a new reincarnation joke. They're just so easy to make.
Really nice. Yeah. Oh, my God. You got one for this show?
So I'm a political comedian. It's a really silly joke, but my aim is for us to come together so we can get the best deal in life. Fight the top 1%, get the best deal in life. Let me tell you about the best deal I got in life. It's when I signed up for a mobile phone network for Hindus. I got unlimited everything so I could use in my next lifetime.
Really nice.
So yeah, and I've got so many more reincarnation jokes. I could do a whole podcast on it.
Well, there you go. There's an idea.
Yeah, so I'm a Hindu and I love beef, so yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hopefully my mum's not listening, so...
Oh, no, is it secret from her?
No, she doesn't. She knows anyway. We're pretty quite lazy Hindus, so we're not that religious, so...
But would you, like, avoid ordering beef in Taco Bell one Friday in front of her?
I would avoid it just out of respect,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, that's nice.
She wouldn't care anyway, so... The only thing I'm worried about beef was when I was younger and we had that BSE scare.
Yeah.
And if I'd got it, then my parents would have found out that I was eating beef. So, so that's the only reason I was scared. Not because it could be like dangerous or anything, but spicy food. I get a lot of ribbing from my mates because I'm Indian. I don't eat that much spice. So.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. I could take it or leave it. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
Depends where I'm eating it and if I need to go to toilet afterwards. So.
You're a lot more political these days in your comedy, and I love to see it. Do you feel like, do you feel like your politics or your take on the world, as you're like a lot more expressive about that? I think it's just we're exactly the same age, it turns out, and we were talking about this before we started recording, that like I think it gets to a certain point in your career where you suddenly feel a compulsion to do comedy about things you're actually really passionate about, and politics is obviously right up there for you. Do you feel like your politics or take on the world affects how you eat, or has ever affected how you eat, or how you think people should eat?
Yeah, I briefly, because I was speaking to, I think her name is Samina Zahara, I can't pronounce it, she's a great comedian, and she was telling me how evil a certain corporation is, Nestle. Mm. So it hasn't really worked out well, but for a few months I tried to boycott Nestle. So
I think they sort of own everything, so it is
exactly
hard.
It's a lot harder. I'm doing it with clothes certainly, but with food I'm trying to buy more ethically sourced, but it can be really expensive. My friend had a go at me because I still drink and eat at Wetherspoons, but when you're a broke comedian, Wetherspoons sometimes, and you're in a town and you're gigging out of town, Wetherspoons is probably the most cheapest option for sustenance. So yeah, but yeah, I'm trying to be better, more ethical.
Yeah.
Eating, yeah, definitely.
Aren't we all, mate? Yeah. I think it's funny, isn't it? Those boundaries that people set at different times for stuff, and it's really easy to say, well, you shouldn't buy from this person, or you shouldn't buy en masse, or I think there's a lot, I don't know, I'm currently like, this is embarrassing, for the first time ever, really, like, trying to put, like, a lot of effort in to buying stuff with less packaging.
100%,
but,
yes.
I tell you what, like, that's it. It's expensive, and not just in money, it's in time.
But no, yeah, I try and do that as well, but it's just, it's a pain in the... It's a real pain going to several shops just to get less packaging.
Yeah.
For me, the worst thing about politics and food, and this is something Jeremy Corbyn said, is that we've got more branches of food... We've got more food banks and branches of McDonald's in this country, and that is absolutely horrific. We're supposed to be, like, the sixth richest country in the world, and yet there's a lot of families out there, even people in the middle classes working as doctors or nurses, are struggling to put food on the table.
Yeah.
And I'm no fan of the previous Labour government, but I'd never heard of a food bank until 2010.
No, Cameron effectively brought them in with his big society, didn't he? You know, individualistic idea of philanthropy and the rich feeding down to the poor, like, it's such a gross patronising. But it's also, I guess, philosophically, exactly what they've always said they wanted to do, is move things away from the government supporting people who haven't got enough. But now, like you say, we've ended up in a situation where even our nurses...
Exactly, it's horrific. I don't believe that people aren't going on the streets and protesting. We need to protest this more. We should be like the French, and this trickle-down economics doesn't work at all. And plus, the government do give out loads of handouts to people, but that's their billionaire mates. So, so why can't we help the poorest in society?
It's bleak, isn't it? I think the situation with food banks is... And I don't think, actually, I don't think I end up... For a podcast, for having someone with a podcast about eating, I don't think I talk about it often enough. And you have brought it up loads of times, actually, and rightly so. Like, we are in a fucking weird time in history where actually... You know, in terms of, like, checking privilege and being in the middle of a nice lunch, like, money is an issue for so many people right now, and it's not 100%. Just around... Like, eating becomes, like, a very emotive thing. If people can't feed their family, like, we're in a situation where interest rates are soaring, people are worried about being able to afford the roof over their head, their bills, but then all I can hope, you know, between you, me and the gatepost, is that actually, historically, the one thing that does put the nail in the coffin of a government is when food prices have gone up, and they have gone up more than at a higher rate, and with, because of the like how much money is worth now. This is the most expensive food has ever been in terms 100%. Of like real life earnings versus what it costs to buy fresh food at the moment. It's fucked. The system's fucked.
I mean, we don't even go to Tesco's anymore because it's just too expensive. I mean, obviously, I'm in a privileged position. I can afford that, but it's just things have gone increased. You go somewhere else instead. But it's...
Well, and eventually there's nowhere to go, and eventually that's where people end up in food banks, right? We're in this dark situation. But I think... I don't want to see it as hopeless, but what I can feel like... I don't know, some kind of summary on it for me is I don't know how anyone in their right mind can continue to vote for this government.
The people are just voting against their own self-interest. They've been lied to by the right-wing press. So, and one of the things, and I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, is people continue to vote in their self-interest. You've got to start to wonder, are elections being rigged or something? Because can people continue to vote in the nasty party? Hundreds of thousands of food banks or whatever. So thinking... they've done nothing to sort out fuel poverty. Brexit's been an unmitigated disaster. We go to not illegal, but dubious wars in other countries. So I think you've got to think, how are these people still getting in? So,
yeah, at least all the Tories I know now are, apart from Jeff Norcott, fucking embarrassed.
Yeah.
And pretend they're not.
No.
Yeah.
You can't, they should be embarrassed because it's just, how can you... I can understand if you vote for this government because you genuinely believe in Brexit and stuff like that. And I nearly voted Brexit for myself, but not I don't want a Tory Brexit. But I can understand if you genuinely believe their policies. But if you knowingly know that these people are evil and you still vote for them, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
So.
Fair play.
Time for a revolution.
And it's going to be a disorganised one if you've got
anything to do with it. Yeah, exactly.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey you sweet bambinos, I'm having a little self-interrupt to share some absolutely brilliant news, Justin, from you. Over on Instagram and Twitter, we ask you listener questions, and here on the show, we show off some of the best of your responses. You lot are so funny and interesting. In this episode, I asked you about your holiday eating. What stood out for you on the hoovering front, for better or for worse, on your holidays? It's worth giving a general shout out to the deeply impressive number of you who basically answered crisps. If you're listening overseas, this is what us Brits call chips. They're actually called crisps. And I mean, I agree with all of you who mentioned the likes of Lay's and paprika flavour, etc. Those are holiday crisps, especially when devoured in the sunshine, and they are a thing of pure fucking joy. On a slightly classier note, thanks to Laura, who said mangoes somewhere tropical. That was her holiday eating. I've never had mango somewhere tropical, Laura, and now I want to. I want to eat a mango in its country of birth. I can imagine the drippy honey sweetness of that. I should probably ask our friend mango sommelier Sindhu V where to start. It's a side note, but the coolest thing in history happened to me the other day. I wasn't the cool one. You can guess which one out of me and Sindhu was the cool one. It's her, just in case we've only just met. It's her. I was on walking home from a gig at Battersea Arts Centre down sort of that horrible big high road in Clapham. And I stopped because a huge tinted windowed black Merc, like an absolute whopper with like blacked out windows for some cool celebrity, pulled up, you know, at the road I was trying to cross. And the blacked out window rolled down and there was Sindhu. And she went, "Do you want to get in my car? Do you want a lift?" And I was like, "Where are you going?" And she went, "North." And I went, "I'm going south." And she put the window back up. We blew each other a kiss. And that was the end of that. How cool is that? Now, sorry, let's get into the juicy stuff. What have you eaten on your holidays? First, from Fenella Newland, who sent me this extraordinary missive. Fenella says, "I'm a lucky bastard. I worked in the wine industry for donkey's years and got to travel all over the place, mostly eating insanely delicious things and drinking wine that is otherwise inexcessively expensive to my meagre budget, while somebody else picked up the bill. Worst experience was day one of a 5-day trip to Verona. I had heard rumours about the first night where the entire group, God knows, about 60 of us, I can't remember," she says, "would be taken to a restaurant called Romeo e Giulietta in central Verona." Apologies, and by the way, this is Jess talking again now, if I've massacred the name of that restaurant there, but that's why I do try and encourage you to do voice notes to me, okay? So it's actually your fault. Fenella continues. "The restaurant's speciality was horse and donkey, and one side dish that my colleagues lovingly referred to as donkey's pubes. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. This being one of my first ever major work trips, I was slightly shitting my pants anyway and found out once we were there that a client I had taken with me was both vegetarian and a lifelong equestrian." God. Oh, I mean, that is amazing. Fenella goes on to describe some of the best holiday food that she's ever had, and it includes stuff like caprese salad, a glass of cold white wine on a cafe pavement looking over a harbour, unbelievable fig and walnut gelato served just off the Rialto Bridge in Venice. "My absolute favourite is still the pumpkin and sage ravioli I had in Venice circa 2010, when I myself was still a strict vegetarian. It was almost certainly finished in some kind of smoked pig-based reduction and inevitably led to my downfall as a vegetarian a few months later." Jesus Christ, Fenella. One, thank you. Two, you've written about that so beautifully. You should have, if you don't already, your own podcast. And three, fuck me, that's made me excited for more eating adventures all around the world, although perhaps not to the special donkey restaurant. What a thrill to hear this stuff. Lastly, for this episode, we've got my favourite. It's a voice note, and it's another one that's going to set your mouth heart on fire. It's from AJ Harford.
"The nicest thing I've ever had on holiday, I went to Sri Lanka, a little restaurant by a botanical garden. Very authentic stuff, and falling completely in line with my lesbian sexuality, I had some absolutely lush, sexy lady fingers. They were cooked to perfection. Enjoyed it incredibly much. Very happy about it. 10 out of 10. 6 out of 5. With regards to the weirdest thing, I went to Thailand a couple of years back and I just decided to eat some barbecue mealworms. They weren't that bad, but I wouldn't go and pick them up in a shop and ever eat them ever again in my life at all, ever in the future. Also, I had some crocodile on a pizza once. That shit's tough. That is tough stuff. And I turned vegetarian after that."
Ooh, Sri Lanka and Thailand have gone on the list. And how funny that AJ came home vegetarian from her trip and Fenella came home unvegetarian into omnivory. Well, thank you for your contributions. More to come in future episodes. Keep an eye and ear on the socials, especially at the Hoovering Pod on Instagram, for more questions coming all the time. Evidence of my holiday hoovering this summer. I try and keep the listener questions entertaining, and there's links all over there showing you ways to get in touch with us in response to them, or indeed about anything else. Let's get back into this lovely episode with Don. You have done some work about being dyspraxic, is that right?
Yes, son. Yeah. So, yeah, for those who don't know, that is, it affects my coordination and organisation. I often make a joke about it that I'm on the dyspraxic diet, is how I lose weight, because I make a mess when I eat, so less food goes in my mouth. I am that messy. I'm 40 and then... I'm surprised I haven't got food on me now, but yeah, so yeah, it makes us messy. And apparently a lot of the world chefs are dyspraxic as well. I think Raymond Blanc or...
Oh, wow.
So, but I need to Google that. But yeah, but some of the chefs are dyspraxic.
Do you think that's a coincidence, or is there something about the sort of chaos of a kitchen or like running a kitchen that might be...
I think it's something about the chaos of the kitchen. Yeah. I really do think that, yeah. I mean, Jamie Oliver's dyslexic, so there might be some kind of... I don't know, yeah. It's the creativeness of the food, yeah. So
yeah, that's very cool.
So, yeah.
And other than that very funny answer of because a lot of food misses your mouth, would you say dyspraxia affects how you eat in any other way? I suppose just adulting, right? Like just managing a life, it's much harder to be organised. Is that about right?
100%. I don't prep my food or anything. So, yeah, I just get everything last minute and I waste my money, so...
Well, it's not a waste of money because you need the food.
Yeah, definitely, but I just eat a load of rubbish. So I always tell myself I'm going to be organised. I've got about 7 pads in my house.
Have you? Notepads?
7 notepads, and I don't use any of them, so... That's how disorganised I am. But you're talking about the dyspraxia. Important thing is I'm on the spectrum as well, and a lot of autistic people don't like certain textures of food.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm not like that, but...
That's fair enough. Yeah, textures, colours, all sorts of things can come into it.
Exactly, yeah. So most important thing for me food-wise, as long as it's free. That's right. Like now. So, but yeah.
Well, help yourself to more. On that note, I love to see it. I'm pleased with this, by the way. I think I will make it again. I really like the crispy potatoes.
It's really lovely.
Yeah, they work really well. I think I'm not a massive fan of cucumber. I don't hate it, but I don't get all the fusses about a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think...
You have to have it with some sauce.
You have to have it with something good, don't you? And someone was telling me the other day that they had a really funny realisation that, like, it's one of the few vegetables that their kid eats, and then they read that it's basically nutritionally zero. Like, it's just water, really.
My niece is exactly... She won't eat anything other than cucumbers in terms of vegetables.
How old's your niece?
She's 5 years old. So.
Yeah. Is she live in Switzerland?
No, this is my twin sister.
Oh, I didn't know you had a twin.
She's lovely, but she's very demanding.
Is she?
But she's 5 years old, and yeah, she's very particular about her food.
Is she? She'll only eat a cucumber.
She'll eat the sweets, but in terms of vegetables...
Yeah.
Kids can be quite disgusting when it comes to food, because the other day she found some kind of lolly stuck to her shoe.
Yeah,
and she just ate it up. Yeah.
Well, my son's 7, and I have to stop him doing that. He dropped a bit of popcorn. Well, he drops popcorn on the floor in the cinema, and that's in the dark. So he knows he's in the dark. He will slither down and be on all fours, truffling it up like an actual pig in a forest looking for truffles. And I'll be like, Rudy, can you get up? Please get off the floor. And then he had some popcorn left over, which is rare for him. And we had to go around Tesco's. He dropped some on the floor in Catford Tesco's, which is... It's a world unto itself, Tom. It is not a clean and tidy or safe or nice place. And I got going to pick that up. I genuinely had to I had to swoop down like fast, like I was grabbing an assailant and thwack it out of his hand. Ooh. I was like, I don't understand where...
Kids love that, don't they?
It's not... That, I can say, that's not, like, learnt behaviour from me. I wouldn't pick up floor off a fucking supermarket floor. Oh, I also want to know when he'll stop having, like, a full beard of whatever he's eating. He can eat something
that was...
No, you're not. I don't know how, like, a 7-year-old can pick up something, even, like, a piece of lettuce, and somehow... There'll be a full green bit. It's like something you didn't know. You could make a mess with. He will find a way of making
it. But to be fair, if I was at the cinema, I'd fight him for the popcorn.
Would you?
Yeah, because I am a bit lazy. If it's something on the floor, I'd eat it. My mum still tells me just to stop. And I'm 40, so yeah, I'm a bit lazy, so yeah.
Do you like salty popcorn or sweet popcorn or mixed?
Sweet popcorn is the best. Anyone who just likes salty popcorn on their own are the worst people in society.
No.
Like salty?
I'm afraid you're going to need to leave now.
This is like a salty versus sweetie debate. Yeah.
No, I like the mixed, actually.
Yeah, I don't mind mixed, I'll eat that, but yeah, probably sweet, yeah.
I love it. I've got a sunshine season question. Holidays. What's the best or worst thing you've eaten on your holidays? Glory and detail for me, please.
The worst thing I ate on holiday was... I went to Tenerife and they had a buffet and it was just horrible, like bacon and eggs. It wasn't cooked properly.
A breakfast buffet.
Yeah. And it was just the orange juice, I think, was out of date. It was just horrible. So, yeah.
This is heartbreaking.
Surprised I didn't get food poisoning, but
no.
So we had to spend more money by going to a restaurant. So.
Oh, no. Were you there for work or there for a holiday with your family? Like, were you there for gigs?
It was just a holiday. So, yeah. We just booked the cheapest flight, the cheapest hotel possible, and the food was absolutely disgusting. So. But the best food I had wasn't on holiday.
Oh.
My 40th birthday, my sister took me to a restaurant called The Shroom.
Mm.
Which is, I didn't know about it, but apparently I got a friend of mine who's a comic and his missus has the cookbook, so it's quite well known.
Yeah.
So she paid for it, so...
Oh, that's nice.
So the food was amazing there. So.
Yeah, I've been once and it was incredible.
King's
I went
Cross
for breakfast. They've got one in Edinburgh. Yeah. It's up on Andrew Square. So one day in the whole month, you can have something nice. Go there. Tell me about a time when you ate something even though you had no idea what it was.
I've never really... probably just sushi. I didn't realise it was duck. So,
duck? Yeah. Oh, duck sushi.
Yeah. Oh, you get it as a sushi. I don't want to eat something that I've given bread to like a few days before. So, I'm not very exotic when it comes to my taste. So no. Duck is probably the... I've had rabbit before, but that's it. So
did you like it?
It wasn't too bad, actually. Mm. So the worst story I heard was... I don't know if I tell this story, but I heard it on TikTok. Some woman, some bloke in America, he was a serial killer.
Oh, no.
And he had a burger van.
Oh,
I think he can figure out what the rest of them are going
to
say.
Oh, no.
So, you know what he served his customers, so...
It's Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, so...
Oh, dear. If there was no other option, would you ever eat a person?
Depends on the person. Yeah, you have to say yes. Well,
depends. You have to say yes.
Well, do I have to kill them first? Or if they're just there, available,
yeah,
or cooked.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Someone might have already made them into, like, a sausage roll.
I think the thing is that no one should tell you and you should just eat it. So, but, yeah, if I had to for the survival of my life, then, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds
I like it when it's a nice, quick answer like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything, like, food-wise, that you think demands to be eaten in, like, a particular way, like... in a ritualistic way, like people have specific ways that they eat, like a Cadbury's cream egg, for example. Like, if you've got any foods that you're like, right, I have to eat that bit, then that bit, then that bit. Anything like that?
I'd probably say a Jaffa cake.
All right, let's go.
I think, yeah, you can eat the bottom bit first.
Like the spongy bit?
Yeah.
Hard to leave the outer rim of the...
But you don't have to eat in one go. You can just savour it. Just take bit by bit. That's the way I do it. So one thing is that... I think more people in this country, when they eat Indian food, maybe try eating it with their hands.
Oh, that's a nice thing to suggest.
But I can't do it myself. But the problem... now, this is going to be too disgusting, but...
No, go for it. Nothing's too disgusting.
I'm left-handed, and most Indian people...
I went back to... Do you use left hand for toilets?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I use it for eating the food in my house. I don't use it. I use a knife and fork. Yeah. I went back to India... this year, to Calcutta.
Yeah, wow. With your family or just...
just my mum, to help her out there. And they eat with their right hand, so I couldn't do that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you just have to get some cutlery?
Yeah, I just get cutlery,
yeah.
Total Westerner, cutlery.
Oh!
But the food there is amazing, like the restaurants are really lovely, so...
And I guess there is something really freeing, and I think connecting with the food to eat with your hands. I love eating with my hands.
Yeah, I'm surprised more people don't do it, so...
Yeah.
And people can save money on cutlery, so...
And toilet paper.
And toilet paper as well, yeah, so exactly. But I think that's something more British people should try.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. I'd be down with that.
Quick fire questions.
Tell me about food that you were given as a gift or won as a prize.
Apparently when I was younger, I'd won a trip to McDonald's. So... I think this informed me of becoming a socialist. I shared the McDonald's with everyone. So, which sounds very wanky and virtue signalling as I'm saying it now, but yeah.
No, it doesn't. I think it sounds nice. That's really kind.
So
my son's an only child and he wouldn't share his McDonald's trip with anyone.
It's like my niece as well. She's like that as well, but I don't blame her. But my biggest regret in life, food-wise, is sharing that McDonald's.
So,
I wish I had it for myself.
So he has taken it back. And
he has taken it from my toll on me. So that's why I became a stand-up comedian, all that scars. Of sharing the McDonald's. So.
The trauma.
So the trauma, exactly.
The trauma of having shared. Cool Original or Tangy Cheese?
Cool Original.
I agree. Foam Hearts and Eggs or Tangfastics?
What are foam hearts?
I just mean normal Haribo or the sour ones.
The sour ones, 100%.
Yeah! What's the most futuristic thing you've ever eaten?
The most futuristic thing? I've eaten a lot of things that are not futuristic, i.e. out of date, but...
that's the perfect answer.
But I haven't had anything futuristic. No, not really.
No? Not any space invaders or sherbet UFOs?
I love a sherbet UFO.
There you go. That can be the most futuristic thing. what's the worst thing you've ever found in something that you were eating?
Probably my mum does a lot of cooking and one of her hairs.
Mum hair.
Yeah, mum. So.
It's extraordinary, isn't it, with that? I was talking to a friend, a dad, on the school gates this morning, and as a mum with hair, we were chatting away. And all the while we were talking, I could see that from where I'd hugged him hello, one of my hairs was like very much stuck in his short beard. It was like, it's not quite a beard. It was like, you know, he hasn't shaved for a few days, like a thick bristle. And I could see my hair dangling wild and loose from his face. I didn't tell him. You didn't, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Just leave him find out.
Yeah, he'll go home and his wife will assume full affair.
They're probably getting divorced as we speak now.
Oh, so. No, I hope not. Hangover, what are you having to eat?
Probably I'd get a McDonald's or a Subway sandwich.
All to yourself?
Yeah, all to myself. Or I'd get a pizza, so yeah.
Okay, fine.
So, yeah.
You're giving yourself three really good options there.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'll do, yeah. But I don't get hangovers these days because I just... It's too expensive to drink in London. Yeah.
Now, it's time for the big end question.
Magic becomes something that any old twat can actually do. And as I'm sure you can imagine, it's a shit show. Sorry, but we've all seen Cardiff on a Saturday night. Everyone is spelling off all over everyone else. There's puddles, cats, toads, pencils and dusts everywhere. All that used to be a person. It's messy, it's noisy, it's hell. But luckily, we've agreed to go back to normal and just having AI to shit ourselves about. But only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Don, do 100 Rubik's Cubes just with your feet while you're with your mouth, you're singing Kylie's Padam on a loop until it's done. But in Danish, it sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. You go down in history as the person who saved the world, Don, from this really awful sort of shit magic apocalypse. Your reward in reality is the adulation of all people for all time. You're like, you've gone down in history like a god, but your reward in the moment, and you are starving because those Rubik's Cubes with your feet whilst singing took ages, is the feast of your dreams. Now, what would you eat? What would you drink? Well, and if there's a who, with, and where, you can have a location and some company for this meal, if you like.
For the mains and the starter and the dessert, it would all be cheesecake.
Just going to have three cheesecakes?
Yeah, I love cheesecake so much.
Oh, I love it. Any different sorts of cheesecake?
Just chocolate, maybe. Chocolate one, maybe caramel, but yeah.
Oh, nice.
Chocolate or caramel, but mainly three chocolate cheesecakes.
Three chocolate cheesecakes, maybe one of them with a hint of caramel.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just for a little bit of variety, but yeah. Maybe with a few Maltesers in them or something.
Oh, my God. Have you ever had a cheesecake with Maltesers in them?
I think I might have, yeah. So,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm happy for you.
So, yeah, I love those places, where those dessert places. Like
Casper's and places like that. Yeah, exactly. We so should have done that. I didn't know.
No, that's fine. But yeah, I'll have three cheesecakes. And for drink, I would have a...
Liquidised cheesecake.
Yeah, pretty much. But basically a milkshake, yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, would you?
Cheesecake milkshake,
I was joking,
yeah.
But you would you?
Yeah, I'd have a cheesecake milkshake.
All right, why not?
And then I'll go straight to hospital.
Well, it's a fantasy situation, so nothing has any consequences. You could eat three cheesecakes in this situation and afterwards feel great, not even sick or headachey.
Yeah, cheesecake all the way, so yeah.
Yeah, love it. Bloody hell. Thank you for doing my silly podcast.
Thanks very much for having us. I appreciate that.
Hoovering Podcast.
Told you he was a poppet. If you're heading to the Fringe, make sure you see his show at the Gilded Balloon. The revolution will be disorganised. And follow him on social media. He is at Don Biswas Comedy. Biswas is B-I-S-W-A-S. Don't forget to come and hoover live with me and the guests of my dreams, either at Latitude on Friday, 21st of July, with Michelle Desfort, or on the 10th of August at the Roundhouse Comedy Festival with none other than Joe Lycett. And I'm working up a new stand-up show. I've got preview hours up and down the country this summer. Info and tickets are on my website, jessicafoscue.com. Also, special thanks to those of you answering my listener questions. You're the best. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Foscue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.